City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Let's catch up with Ped from the Blue Room. Morning to you, Ped. Let's talk about Everton and where they are at the moment. I was fascinated, actually, by a piece that's in The Echo today, talking about the relationship with Yannick Bolasie and Romelu Lukaku and how the pair talk on the pitch in a secret language. So Bolasie says he and Lukaku use a dialect of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Lingala. Now, there aren't many in the Premier League who are going to understand Lingala. So Bolasie is from Congo, while Lukaku is of Congolese descent as well. And so they say few defenders can understand what they're saying. So obviously there's some that might understand. But the pair of them just natter away to have some sort of secret conversation on the pitch. Have you noticed this? Have you been pitch side? Have you noticed that?
I haven't noticed it, but
talking in English to each other?
I haven't noticed it, but you can see the bond between them straight. As soon as they come to the club, you could see the bond. And do you know what? It had me scratching my head for a little bit, wondering why, you know, a Belgium international and a player who's been playing for Crystal Palace, French origin. I was thinking, because you see football sometimes at the end of the game and you look at them and they're very pally and you think to yourself, how do they know each other? You know what? A lot of them go to the same, where they might go to the same have the same sponsors or the same agents and know each other through that. And I was thinking, and then someone told me it was because Lukaku's dad was Congolese, and obviously Yannick Bolasie's got that as well. And that friendship that they've struck up straight away or had already, and you can see that on the pitch. And this is just another side of it. They've got some. Yannick Bolasie is a bit Marmite. It's for some people. I love him to bits. I think he's great. But he's a bit Marmite because he does mad things in the game, you know, that frustrate people. But straight away, he's put a smile on Lukaku's face when he's playing football. And to have that, you think, well...
So no one was doing that before?
Well, not really. Not to the back end of last season. Lukaku seemed like a bit of a loner. Bolasie's come in straight away and it almost feels like, you know what? Lukaku might just stay at the club a little bit longer because he's got someone at the club who's a big friend. There was pictures of Lukaku in the summer with Paul Pogba, and you're thinking, well, that's actually not too bad. They were very pally and they were going to dinner together. And you're thinking, well, that might be a reason he'll stay at Everton. This seems like another reason that, another reason for him to be happy at Everton. So having this dialect is no surprise to me. And if that can just confuse defenders a little bit more and help them develop their partnership, which they've struck up so far, then that's fantastic.
Super. You can just imagine them sort of shouting across the pitch and everyone else is going, what are they on about? What are they talking about? But it obviously works. I think what you're saying there, we were discussing yesterday with the Liverpool players as well. I think that's why Coutinho's happy, why Firmino's happy. Obviously Alberto Moreno. Obviously when you get a little pack of players who sort of are mated with each other, life becomes so much easier, doesn't it?
I suppose for Liverpool.
Does Bolasie hang out with Lukaku away from the football ground?
Yeah, and you look at them on Twitter and they're always, Twitter and social media, and they're always like poking fun at each other. Or they're definitely good mates. And as I said, at first I couldn't put my finger on where that had started from, but it's obviously started from, you know, their family backgrounds, and there was obviously something there. They obviously knew each other. And I think having those friendships, on the pitch and on and off the pitch really, really matter. I remember when Andy Cole and Dwight York were together at Man United and they were said to be very, very pally on and off the pitch. And obviously having these relationships really, really helps because you don't want a player going into a football club every day and being sort of on his own and not really have any friends and leaving the club and being a little bit distant from everyone else. So having someone you go in with and you are more than just sort of teammates, you are real friends, I'm sure that really helps. And you can see for the goal, Lukaku's goal on Sunday, how hard he works just to set up a chance for Romelu Lukaku. And we haven't had that much recently. Someone who'll, because that goal, if the West Ham player had just kicked it out, I don't think any Everton fan would have said someone should have tried to close him down, because Bolasie was absolutely nowhere near him, and he's made that goal himself out of absolutely nothing, and I think that really helps. He did it at Man City a couple of weeks ago as well. He set a goal up where he had no right to set it up for Lukaku as well. And having someone who's selfless for somebody else is so important in a football team. But I'm sure that comes from having that friendship, because I'm sure there'd be some players who are just like, well, I'm not getting myself here for that, for you, or I'm not putting my head in there. But being so close friends, I'm sure that makes a difference. He does want to help him, you know, and at Burnley, it was the other way round. Lukaku set Bolasie up. So that's fantastic to see. And, you know, you'd expect it to continue unless they fall out over maybe playing FIFA or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Some bad decision. Now, Romelu's been talking about Ross Barkley and his goal touch as well. And, of course, it was a massive game for him last weekend, wasn't it? It had to come at some point because it had been taking too long for people to sort of talk in a positive way about Ross Barkley. But Lukaku's now talking about him sort of refinding his place within the England squad as well. There's another England get-together, what, next week? How quickly can Ross sort of get back to that level?
Well, I hope he's not in the England squad, I'll be honest, because... No, I hope he isn't.
He'll want to be in it himself.
Yeah,
though,
he will be. And I always take that into consideration. I'm not one of these people who just says, you know, I don't want them anywhere near. I always take that into consideration. If you're a happy player and you're a happier player because you're in your international team, then that is good for us. But I think there has to be some realism. This is his first good game since probably the first or second game of the season. So if he goes straight back into the England squad, then I'm not saying Ross will do this because I don't know his character in and out, but he might think, well, it's job done. I want him to feel like he's got to fight for it. If it's what he really wants, he needs to do more to get it. One good game isn't enough. So I want him to fight for that, and hopefully that means more good games. I think the reason he was good on Sunday was because he kept it quite simple, and he was 7 out of 10 all the way through the game without doing anything flashy. He played well. He worked hard. I know it was shown on Match of the Day on the Sunday night where he was pressing. He was getting involved. And even his goal, he started by breaking up the West Ham play. He gets involved, wins it, gets it to Lukaku, and then jogs into the box and gets his goal. And we need to see more of that, where he's playing well without being flashy, and then gets his rewards at the end of the by setting up a chance and finishing it off. So I think if he did get back in the England team, I think it'd be too early for him. I think maybe if he plays well over the next couple of months, over the winter, and then the next England, I think it's March, late February or March is the next, then that would be more realistic. If he's good all the way through, then that's good for him. That's good for Everton, and ultimately it's good for England as well. So if he went into this squad, I think it'd just be... He doesn't warrant it. One game doesn't warrant an England
too
place.
Soon. Yeah. Right, let's get some thoughts from Paul and McCall as well. Morning to you, Paul.
Morning, boys. You all right?
What's your thoughts on that? Too soon for Ross to sort of go straight back onto the international scene? If you take away sort of your personal feelings of probably not wanting him to be involved in it anyway.
No, well, I totally agree with Ped, because the way I look at it is you've got to have consistency to merit an international call-up. He obviously hasn't been fancied like with Hodgson in the summer, etc. You know what I mean? I think obviously his mindset might have been there. What he needs to do is get his head down, work hard, keep it simple, but don't be scared to like also explode in the final third. And just, you know, work hard and get the rewards at the end of the day.
I wonder who's been behind his sort of resurgence. I say resurgence, it's only one game, isn't it? But I wonder who it is who is most helpful to Ross at the moment.
It's got to be Koeman, hasn't it? Because What Ross hasn't been doing is getting involved with the other side of the game. What Koeman wants, the pressing, that's what he hasn't done. That there's a few players in the side that haven't been doing that. It's been very clear, and that's where we've just been talking about Romelu Lukaku and Bolasie. That's what Bolasie does. That for me makes him. You know, I don't mind him doing stupid things now and again because he does affect the game because he works hard. He presses, wins the ball back, and then almost has the right to lose it. Whereas there's other players so far. Like, you look at Ross, him, Morales, Gerard Deulofeu, all were off form at the same time. There's three of your most influential tackling players out of form. And it's because, I mean, I won't go over about Morales because he does try, but it just hasn't been dropping for him. But someone like Gerard Deulofeu, he doesn't get involved. He doesn't care about that other side of the game. And what I think what Koeman has said straight away is you have to do the other side of the game to be in my side. And Sunday was the first time that you looked at Ross and said, he's doing it today. And he's getting the rewards. And I think he, on the second goal, as I said, you can see the rewards there. He wins the ball back and then gets up the pitch and scores. So there's the, you know, it ends, you know, he gets his rewards, as I said, at the end of it. And that's where hopefully Ross will notice the difference.
Right, it's Chelsea this weekend. Are you meeting them at a bad time, Paul?
You've got to play him sometime. I mean, this is the thing I dislike about a lot of Evertonians' negative thoughts, is we've got to be prepared. Every single team can beat you, and you can beat every single team. And I think, you know, if we show the same combative nature and were for the fight from the word go, everyone like doing the same thing, we shouldn't fear anyone. I'm not saying we're world beaters, but at the same time, we're hard to beat.
Yeah, the only thing, I mean, he's right. The only thing I worry is that there is no Garner, and that's a player that we can't really replace. So that'll be the difficulty for me on Saturday, is that we can't replace him. You know, Cleverley will probably come in, but he can't do the same job, and that'll be the worry, winning the ball back or breaking up the play. But, you know, I think Chelsea have been good without being spectacular, and I think it'll be about trying to stop Hazard more than anything. Yeah. He seems to have come back into form. But they're not. I think Chelsea are grinding out wins more than being spectacular, and I think that'll be, if we can match them for work rate, it'll be about the big players. And, you know, as Rom showed last year in the cup against them, if he's on form, he can be the difference. I suppose that's what it's like anyway. He is the difference for us because he's such a good player. So I think it'll come down to...
Well, he might have a little bit between his teeth as well, mightn't he?
Well, he's never really done that till last season.
No.
He's always been shy against Chelsea. He's always gone a little bit missing. Whether that be quality or whether it be just something in his head, especially when Mourinho was there. So maybe I don't know, when Mourinho left Chelsea, maybe the spectre of him not being there helped them. So if he can have the bit between his teeth on Saturday, which, you know, you look at him so far this season, he's been fantastic for us. So
I think the other side on that, Pez, sorry, mate, is the difference as well. You look at what they've got down the middle. I mean, Kyle doesn't like... instill confidence in people, and that's David Luiz, mate. If you just get it there, I think there's goals to be had.
Yeah, and they've changed the system. I mean, they're playing three at the back now, probably because they have got lack of good quality defenders. So again, against the three against West Ham, I thought we played really well. The second half, I thought it helped us push our full backs forward. And second half, the likes of Seamus Coleman looked back to his old self. Brian Oviedo played really well as well. So maybe having three at the back will help us go forward and attack them.
Paul Topman, thank you very much indeed for your thoughts this morning. Take care.
This is Radio City Talk, Rock, Sport, and Talk for Liverpool.